Okay, good morning, everyone. Welcome to the April 27th, 2010 Wikibon Peer Insight Research Meeting, where peers discuss challenging problems in the data center. I'm your host and moderator, Dave Vellante, and the topic for today is the future of VMware backup. We are very pleased on this call to welcome Henry Robinson of VMware, who's a director of product management at VMware and has responsibility for the vStorage API for data protection, VADP, and Peter Emming, who is a product manager for backup exec at Symantec. Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Some quick housekeeping, if I may. I'd like to ask that if you're not speaking on the call, please mute your line. Your phone doesn't have a mute button, you can hit star 6 to mute and then star 6 to unmute. That's star 6 to mute and star 6 to unmute if you wish to participate, which we hope you do. Everybody's encouraged to go. This call is being recorded and will last 1 hour for those of you on Twitter. And if you want to tweet this, please use the pound Wikibon hashtag so it'll feed to our social media outlets. So let me set up the call. Backup, as many of you know, has been a challenge for customers and is often an impediment to achieving maximum VMware ROI. When you consolidate physical resources and increase server utilization, it's a two-edged sword. On the one hand, you save a lot of money. On the other hand, you have now fewer resources available for CPU-intensive applications such as backup. But there is light at the end of the tunnel. New capabilities are being enabled by VMware APIs, specifically VADP, and we're going to talk about that today. The vStorage API for data protection represents an opportunity to redesign backup and further isolate the backup stream and automate processes. So what we'd like to cover today is what is VADP and how is it helping users? What is the VMware ecosystem doing to exploit VADP and where is it at? How are customers applying these changes today, and how does VADP change, restore, and improve things? And what do customers need to do to take advantage of these changes? So again, welcome Henry and Peter. Thank you very much for joining us today. I want to point out on the Wikibon homepage, you'll see a new article. So go to wikibon.org. There's a new article right under professional alerts. So you'll see an orange register sign, and then underneath that is a professional alerts section, a new article entitled The Future of VMware Backup. And in there, you'll see a few slides that we'll be speaking to today. Peter, David Butler will be loading up your slides into the wiki momentarily. Henry, your slides are up there. So right. Take a look at those. And I think that's a good place to start, Henry. You know, where are we today with VMware backup, and what is VADP? What problems does VADP and CBT change block tracking solve? Can you take us through some of these concepts?
Sure. I just didn't want to do this as a product pitch, and so what I tried to do is kind of give you a little bit about, in a lot of ways, backup in the virtualized world, where we kind of started from in the past, which is the left-hand box, was with physical backup. You had a shared backup server,
and you had host-based agents. And, of course, because you had sufficient CPU and memory capacity on these underutilized servers, then backup did not really use up a lot of the resources from the processing platform. The first stage, which is in blue, and I tried to figure out a name for it, just a case that says I take my current backup infrastructure and I simply introduce it into the virtualized environment. You know, multiple problems there. Primarily, you're contending for the CPU resources that are you've consolidated on your hypervisor platform, et cetera. The first intent, our first generation of consolidated backup called VCB, VMware Consolidated Backup, took a few approaches. The first thing is you had a shared backup server, which is shown here as physical, but in fact it actually could have been a virtual machine. You installed a VCB application on that server, on that proxy, and then you install your backup application. It was agentless backup in the sense that what you could do is simply totally separate from the virtual machine. You would take a snap of the virtual machine and then actually The proxy would then collect all the snapshots and back them up. But part of the issues that we found were a couple of things. One was that the proxy would do compression or dedupe, but that you'd be using up all of the full data of reading all of the virtual machine image from the hypervisor platform up to the backup application. VCB has been installed in many areas. It reduced the virtual machine load, but in a lot of ways it was not as streamlined as what you needed to have. What we introduced was the vStorage API for data protection, which started to move towards integrated backup. In that sense, a couple of things, subtle things were changed. The first part is instead of having two different applications on the backup server, which was the VCB application and the backup app, we then provided the vStorage APIs as a library to the backup application, a single install, which streamlined the installation process for the user. The second and much more important part was the fact that the data transfer was now streamlined in the sense that instead of VCB reading the snapshot data into its application and then the backup application then transferring that to the backup media, it was streamlined in the sense that the backup application could read directly from the virtual machine snapshot and make use of it directly. So as of such, it removed one full data transfer. But as important, what we've introduced as well is the concept of change block tracking. What change block tracking does is allows the backup application to set a point in time to perform a full backup at the first point in time, and then subsequently keep track of only the data blocks that have changed since that last full backup. And as of such, you're significantly reducing the I/O load on the hypervisor platform. So in this situation over here, what you'd be doing is if I would back up, for example, my 10 gigabyte VM on Monday, and then I want to be able to create an incremental backup on Friday, then all you'd have to do is essentially transfer the I/O blocks that have changed in the interim. Significantly reduces the I/O demand, significantly speeds up the backup process, and significantly reduces, again, the resources required. In addition to that, we continue to improve our support of VSS. By the end of this year or earlier than that, we'll have a full support of all the current Windows operating systems, including Windows 7 and 2008 Release 2. So really what we tried to do over here is to work very closely with the backup vendors in order to be able to ensure that we could provide the resources that they need to have to have full access to the virtual machine images, and two is to streamline the process by being able to make use of the power that we currently have with the snapshot facility and making use of it from here. Before I continue on, it might be worthwhile if you want to have some discussions and so forth on this.
Yeah, that's good. So basically what I'm understanding with VADP is it substantially reduces the I/O demand, which is going to help with backup window issues and, as you say, speed up the backup process. Is there anything, can you address restore? As our friend Fred Moore likes to say, backup is one thing, recovery is everything. Are there other benefits on the restore side, or is that still something that you're working on?
Well, we're working on with the backup vendors on that. In a lot of cases, that's where the backup vendors provide a lot of value, which is how one then turns around and decides how you restore. And of course, there are two different models, and definitely that's an area that Peter will spend some time on. But model number one says that I am doing a restore of a full image simply because I've lost the entire virtual machine. And the second part, which becomes more important, is a restore of a single file. So as of such, you know, both of those really kind of fit within the purview of the backup application in our view so far.
Okay, so I think it's clear with regard to what VADP does, but does anybody have any questions around that or any points of clarification? If not, go
ahead. I just had a question as regarding if you could talk to the level of VSS integration in existing, APIs or future ones that deal with application consistency.
So can I ask, just give us your first name if you don't want to give your whole name. Who was that speaking? Hello? The person who just asked that question, can you just give us your first name? Okay, no name.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Definitely the first part we're doing is essentially file system consistency. Application consistency is something that we expect to release directly with VADP in the future.
Okay.
That's a good question.
So actually, one other note on that particular topic. This is Peter Emming from the Symantec side. The VADP APIs that Henry's talked about that we take advantage of on Symantec backup products such as NetBackup and Backup Exec, it's definitely given us a rich environment to address the virtual backup challenges that a lot of these customers are facing. But there's also been the ability, VMware's given us and partnered with us the ability to add value on top of the ecosystem that they've developed with the vStorage APIs. And so VSS integration is actually one of those areas where we've tried to add additional value above and beyond what the platform offers. So with Backup Exec, for example, one of the things that we've added is our own VSS provider that gets installed with one of our agent technologies inside of the guest if you have virtualized applications inside of those guest machines, specifically Exchange, SQL, Active Directory. We do have sort of a Backup Exec tools for VMware that you can install inside of those guest virtual machines to provide an additional level of VSS support that allows us to do interesting things for that application during the course of a backup, such as log truncation, application quiescing, and metadata gathering to enable things like granular recovery of mailboxes and messages, Active Directory user accounts, SQL databases, all from a single pass vStorage backup. So we still fully leverage the vStorage APIs to do the backup. We just add an additional piece of technology to provide that additional level of functionality if you're interested in providing that type of protection for those virtualized applications. It's definitely not required. It's definitely optional. But it is something that the backup vendors have the flexibility to add. So just, again, want to say thanks to Henry and the team at VMware for providing that type of ecosystem for the partners to add on to.
I think it denotes the point, which is that really what we've tried to do with the vStorage APIs is to make sure that we take a look at the partner ecosystem, decide those areas where we can add value and streamline processes, but at the same time work with the backup vendors to be able to allow them to leverage the value and the technology that they can bring to bear. I think the combination has really resulted in a good environment for users. I think one thing to note is originally when VMware consolidated backup, because it had a script that allowed you to be able to script your backup, then some people tried to use it as its own application. It really didn't fit as a backup application. So really, with the vStorage APIs, what we really tried to do is to say that we're leveraging the backup vendors, backup partners, key technologies in order to provide value for virtualization.
So Peter, one of those areas of value add is obviously dedupe. Can you talk about where that fits and how VADT and CBT are changing the whole dedup landscape?
Sure. It's definitely a great combination. So when we look at the virtualization wave that's taking place today that VMware ushered in into the IT world, backup redesign is definitely one of the pieces that should be talked about as part of the adoption of virtualization inside of a company. So if you've got customers out there or companies that are looking to virtualize with VMware, the discussion of backup redesign should be part of those discussions about how to take your environment to a fully virtualized environment. There are significant cost savings that are associated with redesigning the backup for a virtual environment. And it doesn't stop with just the savings on the backup software licenses, where previously you've had to put an agent inside of every guest virtual machine to back it up. You can now really redesign your backup to get away from putting an agent in every single guest and leverage some of those savings. But the storage savings really are another aspect of the virtualization wave and also the backup redesign that kind of go hand in hand. And so the storage saving comes both on the front end with things like archiving, also on the back end of where you're actually backing up that data to, your actual target storage for your backup data. And that's really the combination of the change block tracking and the vStorage APIs plus deduplication that we've seen a lot of customers kind of gravitate towards, where they've realized the savings on the front end by virtualizing a large number of physical machines onto VMware, and now they're looking to capitalize on savings on the back end, on the storage side, on their backup of those same virtual machines. So deduplication works really well with the change block tracking that vSphere 4 introduced with the vStorage APIs. So traditionally with the VMware consolidated backup, you had to take a full backup of every single virtual machine out there. There was no ability to just back up the changes. Now that now that we've changed block tracking built in, incremental and differential block level back during to really reduce the amount of data that you're sending across the wire. But now you can add on to that with deduplication to only send unique data, whether it's incremental or differential change blocks. And that can be applied across a large number of virtual machines, not just per VM, but now you're only sending changed and unique data across 10 VMs or 20 VMs or 40 VMs. So that's really where you'll recognize that the large storage savings is deduplication across multiple virtual machines with the change block tracking. It's really the combination of those two things.
So, you know, when we talk about redesign, there's sort of gradations of redesign, isn't there, Peter? I mean, a lot of customers in the Wikibon community would tell us that they had this terrible choice previously with VCB between ripping and replacing, say, their existing backup software and going to something like a source-side dedup, or just living with, you know, the I/O constraints that they had. When you talk about redesign, you're talking about the way in which you structure the agents in every guest versus necessarily a rip and replace. Is that correct?
That's right. So you're no longer required to have an agent inside of each guest virtual machine. You're no longer required to have the I/O load on each individual guest VM. What Henry and the team at VMware have brought to the table is the ability for Backup Exec and other vendors and other backup products to go more to an agentless type backup system and still realize some of these benefits. So that means that you don't have to install an agent on any guest virtual machine. It means you don't have to install an agent on the ESX host. We leverage these rich vStorage APIs for data protection to actually communicate directly with the ESX host, directly with the data store, or directly with vCenter to get a list of all the VMs and find out where the storage is. And then we can efficiently move that data across a SAN, across a LAN, or if you virtualize your backup environment, you know, you can actually virtualize all of that backup I/O on the ESX host as well. And what that allows you to do is get away from having to manage, you know, 10 or 20 or hundreds of backup agents. Now, there are certainly some advantages in having an agent in there inside of those guest VMs, but that's really if you're looking to get, you know, additional value add that I talked about earlier, application quiescence, for example, granular recovery of application data, log truncation. So the agents are definitely optional at this point, and the backup redesign for VMware would allow you to move away from those agents inside of the guests if that's something that you're looking to do, and still take advantage of the change block tracking and still take advantage of the deduplication to save on the storage costs.
So I have a
question. This is David Fryer. I'd like to just ask a little bit more about this redesign thing, because that's often code for quite a lot of work. If there's one area that people do not like to change, it's their backup procedures, if they can possibly avoid it, as it's expensive to change it and difficult to get it sort of settled down afterwards. So could you give some sort of indication of when you talk about a redesign, how much effort is that? What sort of things need to be done, and what should? Obviously, it's much better than having to rip and replace, but it's still quite an impediment to putting in a system. So, could you give a little indication of how much effort it would take?
Absolutely. So, there's a lot of choice out there that customers have in their VMware backup products. You could go with a virtual-only backup solution. There's a number of those out there. But that involves the problem that you just mentioned, the true rip and replace, where they're having to either add to an existing backup application, a second backup application just for their virtual machines, or they're going to look to completely redesign their backups around, you know, another virtual-only backup application. And what we're offering from Symantec, and I'm going to try very hard not to turn this into a product propaganda speech here, but what we're offering is the ability to transition into that virtual world very easily. So you would use your same product from Symantec, hopefully either NetBackup or Backup Exec, and by adding an agent for VMware to that mix, you're using the same console that you've used previously to back up your physical machines. You're using the same disk or tape infrastructure to back up your physical and virtual machines. You can mix physical and virtual backups all in the same backup process, the reporting, the logging. All of that is still very similar inside of the framework of a single application. You're not having to have two different consoles or two different agents or two different installation routines. It's all built in to the product itself. And so as far as the redesign goes, you're simply going into the same Backup Exec or NetBackup product that you may have used previously to back up your physical machines, but now instead of going out and browsing your network to find all of those physical machines, you're going to go to a single point in the product that's custom designed to show you a VMware view. So we'll actually go and talk to vCenter, and we'll display all of the virtual machines and all of the folders, all of the templates, all of the things that you would normally see in the vCenter console. Those things would appear inside of your Backup Exec console, for example. And so you'll be selecting virtual machines from a consolidated view, as opposed to having to browse your entire network for those physical machines. So the experience is actually easier to back up these virtual machines, because they're all kind of grouped together in a very common way that you're used to from vCenter, from the native tools that Henry and the team at VMware have provided. So the transition is actually pretty good. There's not a whole lot of effort. You're going to license key for this new capability, and you're simply going to give us the IP address or the name of the vCenter server, and you know, then it's kind of a point-click-shoot type operation. Pick which VMs you want us to protect and tell us where you want to protect them to, and it's our job to do the rest.
Okay, so it was another question I heard.
Did that answer the prior question, though?
Yes, it did for me, and I like very much the answer that you don't have to rip and replace, and I would presume that the other partners of VMware in the backup area are offering similar types of solutions
in
this thing.
And I'd like to come back and talk about this a little bit, just in terms of, as I said, as I alluded to before, some of the source side versus target side dedupe approaches, because I want to understand that a little bit better. But let's open it up a bit and just let the audience interact some. There was another question that somebody was about to ask.
Yeah, hi, this is Heidi. It was a similar question, but I was curious. So the change block tracking, you did answer one of my questions and how it would complement or not complement dedupe. But I'm curious of how it would work. How that process is managed, is the change block tracking actually managed through a VMware GUI, or is it through the data protection GUI?
It's directly through, if you take a look at that, basically within the backup application will manage the change blocks they need to deal with. So as of such, it's all integrated within the various backup applications. The vStorage API provides the functionality, but it's under control of the backup application. So the user is essentially selecting either a full backup, in which case he'll get the full image, or an incremental backup. And backup vendors who have integrated with the vStorage APIs for and using change block tracking would then automatically select that.
Okay. Thanks.
And that's very true. So that's one of the great things, again, about the vStorage APIs. The backup vendors have the flexibility to do that. So you want to look for a backup application that will automatically turn on and enable that functionality for you. It requires a hardware version 7 configuration for each virtual machine that you want to do the change block tracking on. And so when you're looking for backup applications, you want to make sure that it's not something that you're having to set on every VM, but that the actual backup application will automatically enable that on the proper virtual machines, as Henry mentioned, so that the admin is not having to do that manually. So that's definitely something you want to look for any backup application if you're looking for the change block tracking feature.
Okay. So I wonder probably question for Peter, are there checklists that users should think about to prepare to take advantage of VADP, or is it something more seamless than that?
Can I keep throwing compliments Henry's way here, but they've made it very easy for the backup vendors to integrate with. So you definitely want to ask your backup vendor, are they actually vStorage API compliant? And actually, VMware actually has a program, and I'll let Henry talk about this, called VMware Ready for vStorage APIs for Data Protection. So they actually have a certification program that is pretty rigorous that the backup vendors can submit their application for to go through that checklist to actually become fully vStorage compliant. And they've had this with the VCD technology, and they've extended that again with vStorage. Backup Exec and Symantec, we were one of the first applications to receive that certification for both. So Henry, do you want to mention any of the vStorage VMware Ready certifications?
Sure. If you actually take a look at the third slide in the set, is basically these are the applications, the partner solutions today that have been certified. So it's a growing base. You'll continue to see more and more partners releasing things that are VADP based. Our goal is to essentially hit any backup application, and we're doing more and more work in evangelism in order to make that happen. So as you can see, it covers the major vendors. A couple others are soon to announce that same type of environment as well.
And I would also mention that, Dave, if you talk about like an informal checklist, the change block tracking is definitely one of the features that we're seeing customers gravitate towards the most. But it's not just the technology that can be taken advantage of on the backup side. There's definitely, if the vendors do the work that it takes to implement this, but there's definitely some advantages on the restore side as well. And I think you had a good quote earlier about how important the restore actually is. But the change block tracking can actually really dramatically increase the restores as well if the backup vendor is taking the time to sort of consolidate and basically synthesize full restore capability out of these incremental and differential backups. And what I mean by that is, typically, backup vendors, when they do a full backup on a Monday and then incremental throughout the week, the restore scenario for most customers is to restore the original full and then Tuesday's incremental, then Wednesday's incremental, and Thursday's incremental, Friday, until they get to the point in time that they're looking for. But with the vStorage APIs and the change block tracking, if your backup vendor has implemented them correctly, you should be able to reverse that restore order. You would actually restore from your latest incremental. And then the backup vendors should be smart enough to actually work backwards in time through all of those block-level incrementals or differentials so that you're actually restoring and moving much less data to get back to that point in time. You're only restoring the blocks that are actually necessary. So that would be another part of the checklist that I would definitely look at, is what is the restore experience from a large number of incrementals or differentials with the change block tracking.
Okay. Excellent.
I have a question for Henry regarding the vStorage API certification and the vendors that you have listed here, are there varying degrees of support for the API, or does everybody support everything?
So at various times, vendors will decide which way they want to go into. From this list that we have, the only customer who or our partner has not done a wholesale conversion over to VADP and still uses some parts of VCB is IBM and Tivoli Storage Manager. Their roadmap states that they're moving towards full compliance with the ADP. The rest of the vendors have pretty well released all products that are based on fully on the ADP based.
So, Henry, I wonder if I can follow up on that, because you sometimes get some criticism, VMware gets some criticism about the deck being stacked. You hear this a lot from the VAAI guys, like, oh, I can't get the most up-to-date SDK. You've got, you know, a list of folks here. They're not all the big ones. They're not just, you know, EMC and Symantec. So you've got some smaller companies on there. But at the same time, you've got limited resources as VMware. Right? You can't support everybody. So where are you at with regard to the distribution of SDKs and, you know, whatever support you need to give the backup community? Do you feel comfortable with that, or is there still some ways to go? Is it evolving? Maybe you could add some.
No, in fact, if you actually take a look at the various ones and kind of go through a couple of things, one is vStorage APIs from data protection was actually launched almost 2 years ago, as first as a technology preview. And the way in which we actually launched that one is it's actually open to anyone to download the APIs and make use of it. And what we provide is that if you're going to redistribute the library, then we go through a certification process. So as of such, we actually have some end users who in the past had written their own VCB-based application or have actually downloaded VADP and made use of it directly. We don't necessarily encourage that. Because, you know, you have to put a backup application in place. Some end users feel that they have the technology and the time in order to make use of it. So we've really tried to make sure that the VADP program is very open to anyone who wants to come up, no matter what size. And the certification program in most cases, because a lot of it is it makes use of resources from the partners, is very much open to those partners. And so what we see is continuing to grow that infrastructure. Some companies such as Symantec have seen very quickly the benefits of features such as change block tracking, and so we're very early in that process. Others, you know, it's basically the backup partner space. They'll decide where it makes sense to provide it in their feature rollout. So we feel that that partner base specifically with regards to VADP is vibrant, it's strong. We've figured out the magic formula by which we can provide value as well as enable them to be able to provide value to the end user. One thing you mentioned, which is VAAI, we have way too many Vs at VMware, but that's the vStorage APIs for array integration. In that situation there, because it is much more at the command layer and very much at the kernel layer, in those situations there, those APIs are very much starting off with a larger set of partners who have the resources in order to move forward because that's a significant investment on VMware side in order to connect to it. Really our goal within VMware is to enable the ecosystem to provide the facilities that delivers to the end users as quickly as we can. In the case of VADP, because it really is a second generation, we've learned a lot from VCB, our goal is to open it to a wide range of partners. And we're happy as quickly as possible to run through certification programs and continue to enhance this list.
Okay, so Son of VCB is building on the experiences of VCB, and VADP is a little bit more mature and and hence adoption is probably a little bit further along than some of the other.
And you know, the funny part is really this, right, which is that, you know, when I kind of sat back and took a look at the history, it's something that we spent a lot of time over the period of 2 years to really go through a process where we had a technology preview. The VADP interfaces are not only used for backup products, they're also used as well for security products, such as being able to do VMDK, antivirus scanning, et cetera. So you're going to see the whole VADP infrastructure being used for a whole lot of different applications.
Right. Okay, good. I muted a lot of people when we were having that feedback through our system here. I just want to make sure that everybody has an opportunity to speak. Star 6 unmutes your individual line if you guys want to say something. I know Jerry Murphy's on the line, and usually, Jerry, you have some good perspectives. And I haven't heard from you, and I wonder if it's because you're muted. Are you there, Jerry? Yeah. So I'm going to try something. Bear with me. All right, so everybody,
hey, Dave.
Okay, so go ahead.
This is Peter again. I just also wanted to mention for you and Heidi that the vStorage APIs, your customers don't have to wait until they're on vSphere 4 to take advantage of the majority of the feature set, with the exception of the change block tracking. All of the speed and performance enhancements, the direct-to-storage architecture that Henry mentioned, where there's no longer any VCB application you have to install or any storage that you have to allocate towards VCB, they're backward compatible to ESX 3.5 Update 2 and later. So that's probably the most common question that I hear today is, you know, do I have to maintain VCB as well as vStorage? And the answer is no. You can take advantage of vStorage as long as you're on 3.5 Update 2 or later, with the exception of the change block tracking.
Yeah, I mean, reality, what percent of the VMware customers out there are actually using VCB? It's got to be less than 10%. Would you say that's a fair figure or no?
Well, it's hard to determine, right? I think it's, you know, again, I think a lot of people got stuck into the second box, right? That basically said, look, I'll start my virtualization journey by essentially taking my current backup tools and essentially running them within a VM. But you know, we're seeing that change pretty dramatically.
Right. Okay. All right, Jerry, can you hear me? Just not like you not to be speaking on these calls. So I'm afraid I've muted you by mistake here. But so star 6 unmute you. How about David Floyer? Are you still there? Well, that's
all callers unmuted.
All right, I'll try that again. All right, so if you wouldn't mind again, star 6, if you're not speaking. Just I fear that I've muted everybody, and I want to make sure everybody gets a chance to speak here. I want to talk a little bit about this whole notion of dedupe again. And again, prior to VADP, there was this evil choice, right? I can do, say, rip and replace and do a source-side dedupe, or I can just live with maybe lower virtual-to-physical or physical-to-virtual ratios. Now, Peter, am I correct that Symantec is actually including dedupe within some of the software products? Is that right?
Right. We've actually taken a deduplication technology we acquired several years ago. We've integrated that now successfully into both NetBackup and BackupExec. So I'll try again my very best to keep the products out of this. But the deduplication piece, again, that's going to really cut down possibly on your backup window and definitely on your storage costs. So with deduplication, you kind of have a couple of choices in where you want the deduplication to occur. It's a very processor, CPU intensive operation. And what we've tried to make sure is that the customers have the choice of where they want that processing to occur. So if you'd like to save on bandwidth and reduce the amount of data you're dragging across the network to be backed up, then you want to deduplicate closer to the source data actually at the virtual machine itself. Now, that does require an agent to be inside of that virtual machine to deduplicate at the source so that we don't drag the data across the network to be deduplicated at the target. But that's the advantage of doing it closer to the source of the data, is that you're processing that deduplication at the virtual machine, and you're really reducing the amount of data that you're sending across the wire. And that's definitely one choice that a lot of customers make. The other choice, though, would be customers who have a backup infrastructure where everything is geographically pretty close to each other and on pretty good network pipes between them, typically a SAN-based backup approach. And in that case, customers are much more willing to take the trade-off of, I want to send the data across the SAN as quickly as I can, and then I want to deduplicate and have that processing occur actually on the backup exec server or on the backup target if you use something like a deduplication appliance from our good friends at DataDomain or ExaGrid or Quantum. So if you want to have that deduplication done at the appliance, we support that. If you want to have the deduplication done at the backup server, that's definitely a possibility. Or if you want to have that deduplication done actually at the virtual machine, that's also a capability. And so whenever you're looking at a backup vendor and you're looking for deduplication, that's the type of flexibility that we think is important to look for, is the ability to kind of control where that deduplication occurs. And that's the trade-off, Dave, is do you want to save on bandwidth, do you want to save on storage, or do you want to save on CPU processing and have an appliance do that work?
Okay, so the parameters there of the decision are really the bandwidth, the I/O intensity, and you're saying source side will, despite CBT, you can turn that knob even further with a source side dedupe type of approach.
That's right, because the difference would be, let's say you, Henry, and I each had a virtual machine running over there. The source side deduplication in combination with change block tracking, the change block tracking would back up the differences on each one of our virtual machines, but you're still sending redundant data across the network if we all have the same PowerPoint file on each of our virtual machines. But with deduplication at the source level, we're now basically saying the Dave virtual machine, the Peter virtual machine, and the Henry virtual machine, if they have that same PowerPoint, don't even bother sending it across the network to be backed up. So it's really the double storage savings of the change block tracking and the deduplication that really kind of provide that bang for the buck.
So from an ROI standpoint for the users on the call, it comes down to how hard you can actually push your consolidation ratios and your virtual to physical or physical to virtual ratios with regard to backup. And are there tools to help people determine that, or is it sort of a proof of concept trial and error?
Yeah, that part I think is still pretty immature. The tools that to help to guide them and do that type of hand-holding, I think more of the backup vendors today, Symantec included, are kind of leaving that up to the customer to kind of determine what's best for their environment. So I think that's the next step for us, is to kind of automate that and provide some hand-holding and some actual wizards or guidance or tools to be able to do that. So that's not there yet, but I think it's definitely needed. Today, one of the other big pieces that you've got to look at is the hardware that you're allocating to your virtual machines. If you're only allocating a single core to a virtual machine, deduplication at the source would not be a good fit for you. You want to look for at least a dual core allocation to that virtual machine to do any type of deduplication at the source.
Okay, I want to come back. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah. And I think to kind of follow up on this, Henry, is that we're not standing still with what we're doing with the vStorage APIs for data protection. And the second slide of the set was what we're now calling, instead of integrated, optimized. And then we take a look at what are the developments that are happening within the infrastructure that can really help in that area. And I kind of focused on four. The first part is native or array-based snapshots, the ability of being able to decrease the load on an ESX server or a hypervisor during the snapshot process, then making use of array-based or native snapshots, I think, becomes important from that side. The second part is integrated dedupe that says that while I do the snapshot, then I can, in fact, dedupe again at the source so that In fact, it can essentially be done at the hypervisor level without having to essentially burn a lot of CPU at the virtual machine layer. The third part, of course, is cloud backup, which provides that capability of being able to provide offsite backup from that side. And then finally, the other part is providing better facilities where the VADP can help with regards to the restore process, self-service restore, so that, again, you can kind of fit into place. So those are efforts that we're working on with partners of being able to provide those set of technology capabilities to, again, increase the optimization that you can have for the backup infrastructure.
I'm glad you mentioned the cloud. I was going to ask you about that. So, you know, as you think about the potential for cloud, whether it's internal cloud and maybe new models of high availability and business continuance and maybe even disaster recovery, multi-location data recovery services, and where the backup is more sort of aware, of VAP aware, if you will, and then eventually, I guess, higher speed recovery across hybrid clouds. It sounds like that's something that you're working on. It's on the roadmap, and maybe you could give us some color on that.
Sure. I think, you know, I think the biggest area that we're continuing to try to work on is that we can drive new technologies. But I think one of the first speakers talked about that says, are you asking me to rip and replace my infrastructure? As we move to the virtualization journey to internal cloud or even external cloud, one of the things that we have to remember is that a lot of the workloads still live in the legacy world and, in fact, dominate a lot of IT shops. So definitely one of the things we're trying to provide is what types of capabilities can we provide that are synergistic with what is already installed, so that a customer can essentially dial in new technologies when it makes sense, but not necessarily have to rip and replace what currently exists. So really, I think one of the challenges that we're seeing is how do we make use of that? Definitely, as we start dealing with it, we're starting to see the dichotomy between backup or data protection or virtual machine protection and restore, which is whether it's a full restore from disaster or simply restoring a file or a mailbox. So really our goal is to integrate more and more of that backup infrastructure, that first part of that infrastructure, directly within the hypervisor. And so when I do this, it may indeed be that I make use of the array facilities to make native snapshot easier, that I use dedupe in order to reduce the both. Dedupe has two good use cases. Use case number one is you're moving less data, and number two is dedupe is typically on less expensive secondary storage. So both of those become part of the infrastructure. We use the vision of a cloud backup, but in a lot of ways the goal is to help with regards to getting some of those offsite backups in place. One of the things that I tried to do in this slide is to kind of blur what is done by the infrastructure and what is done with the backup vendor. Our goal is to deliver the best value to the user and continue with a lot of the hallmarks that we did with the ADP is to make sure we work in concert with backup partners to be able to provide the solution that's synergistic and allows, you know, value on both sides.
Excellent. Okay, Peter, I have to ask you, so you mentioned your good friends at Data Domain, and it's obviously Data Domain's owned by EMC now, a competitor, but the Data Domain Symantec combination has been sort of legendary in this space. So are you competitors or partners with Data Domain?
Partners, definitely. So the appliance itself, it's definitely storage, and that's what it does best. It does have the ability to deduplicate the data that sits on the storage, but at the end of the day, it is a backup target. And so by itself, it's not a complete solution. It needs something to drive source data to it as a target. And so that's what you want to look for is a solution where you've got kind of the source and the target taken care of. And Data Domain makes a very good target for backup software to write data to. what Symantec has done through our open storage technology API is basically said to the vendors that are producing these intelligent appliances, hey, instead of writing your backup sets through a very ancient tape-based technology, whether it's virtual tape libraries or some sort of tape encapsulation format on your array, let's treat it as an intelligent disk-based storage device. And so that's what the Open Storage Technology API actually allows us to do. It allows us to treat disk as disk and take advantage of some of these native capabilities. So we support Data Domain today, Exagrid, Quantum, and they make great backup targets through this OST interface where you don't have to use like a SIFS share or a VTL interface. It provides you the highest level of backup performance because we're not going through any sort of third-party layer. It actually is writing directly to the disk on those arrays, and it's very, very fast and very efficient.
Right, so that's the value of integration play there, right? I mean, the integration is done, it's faster, it's efficient, means it's going to be lower cost, less risk, et cetera.
That's right, and some of the vendors have gone out of their way to add additional value to their OST plugins, for example. So if the arrays support replication between them, let's say you have a couple at remote sites, through the OST layer, we can actually talk intelligently to those two devices at different sites and tell them to actually replicate the deduplicated data between them, all the while controlled and cataloged and managed via the traditional backup application. And so that's the type of integration you'd want to look for is going above and beyond just simple backup capabilities, but can you replicate between them and how intelligent is the communication between them?
The way the discussion has gone is a lot on the technology, all the different technologies, which is an IT point of view. I'd like to suggest that there's also a business side of this, which is the backup is done in order to lose as little data as possible, restore as quickly as possible, but obviously keep the cost down. And those three things are often at odds with each other. So from a summary point of view, could you help position it from that business perspective of how would you provide the lowest amount of data lost, and how would you provide the quickest recovery, and what the trade-offs of cost would be in this new type of environment?
Sure. So usually this is a very common discussion we have with new customers and also existing customers that are adopting virtualization. And the best way that we illustrate it is we kind of have a simple cost comparison slide. In dollars and cents or pounds or euros, that's usually the best way to talk about it. And so the simplest example I can give, of at least on the cost side, is, and again, not a product-specific pitch here, but I think it helps illustrate the point about backup redesign for virtual environments. So today, a legacy backup exec agent for a typical Windows server, we sell that at an MSRP of $595. So if you had five or six virtual machines and you were using a traditional legacy-based approach of an agent inside of each one of those guest virtual machines, that's going to be $595 potentially per virtual machine. Now, we sell our VMware agent on a per ESX host basis. So we don't care how many virtual machines you have or how many CPUs it's taking. It's simply per host licensing. So at about three or four virtual machines per ESX host, you've dramatically lowered your cost of your backup infrastructure to go along with the reason why you went the virtual approach to begin with, and that is to save money. So as you add virtual machines to your hosts, your costs are actually fixed. There's no additional cost for each additional virtual machine that you add. And that's very different than how the traditional backup world has been modeled. So right off the bat, you're going to see significant savings on the
That's a cost view, but how do you layer in, for example, ensuring that I maintain the RPO and RTO targets? And obviously, if I want higher RPO or RTO, or better RPO and RTO, then I would expect to pay more. So can you maintain those RPOs over a physical environment? Do you need to invest more?
That's such a good question, and that's why this particular area is definitely the hottest thing in backup right now, is going virtual as part of your backup redesign, because it's very rare that we accomplish what you're asking me. How can you actually increase your RPOs, or actually I should, you know, your RTO and RPOs, how can you actually
boost your
RPO as well as your costs? And that doesn't happen very often. That's not a likely combination in most situations. But when you think about what virtualization does for a physical server, you take an entire system with all the files, registry settings, user data, and you encapsulate that in a very small subset of files, you know, virtual disk files. And so you can recover an entire machine very quickly by just restoring just a few subset of these virtual disk files and a configuration file. And that's very different than recovering a traditional physical machine. So you're actually seeing reduced RPO and RTO times and reduced cost, and that's a very unlikely combination. The machines are easier to recover. You don't have to worry about differences in hardware. And what Symantec has done is we've tried to ensure that you're not having to recover an entire virtual machine. And Henry talked about this as one of the areas that VMware is looking to add additional features in the future on the platform itself. But Symantec, what we've done in the interim is we've ensured that you don't have to recover an entire virtual machine. If you need to recover back an individual email or an individual file or a folder or an Active Directory user account or a SQL database, you're not having to recover an entire virtual machine. And we have patent-pending technology to do that with called granular recovery technology. And so that's really what allows us to drive down those RPO and RTO times, as well as the change block tracking and the SAN-based restores and the deduplication. And so that's why we have this unique combination, and that's why it's doing so well in the marketplace. Is we've got a lot of the right stars aligned where the costs are lower, the performance is better, not only on the backup but also on the restore, and including the granular recovery piece where you can recover bits and pieces of these machines if you didn't need to recover the entire machine. But if you did need to recover the entire machine, it's a lot easier where you're not having to recover thousands and thousands of files. You're recovering a set of virtual disk files and a configuration file, and that's the extent of really what you're having to do. So it's a very elegant combination, and it's working very well in the marketplace.
Okay, that's a good place to end it. We have to end the call, and ending it on the business note is excellent, and we'll cover that more in the after call, I'm sure. So we have to wrap now. But so on behalf of the Wikibon community, I really want to thank Henry Robinson of VMware and Peter Imming of Symantec for joining the call today, sharing with us some of your perspectives. Peter, if you want to send over those slides, we'll be happy to put them up in the wiki and distribute those to folks. I'd also like to thank the anonymous user who asked the question, David Floyer and Heidi. Thanks for your participation today. As a reminder, our next Peer Insight meeting is scheduled for next Tuesday, May 4th, 2010, and the topic is disaster recovery, achieving zero data loss with asynchronous infrastructure. And we'll be joined by two DR and business continuity practitioners from two extremely large financial institutions, and Dr. Alex Winokur of Exana will also be on the call. He's the CTO of Exana. And then over the next 24 hours, we'll have up on Wikibon six research notes pertaining to today's call, and they'll include user actions. So look for those, and please feel free to hit the edit tab and improve the pieces, or put up your own piece, or write a wiki tip. And we'll also be producing a podcast of this call that we'll be sending out as well. So thanks for listening today, everybody, and thanks for being a Wikibon member. Bye for now.